try to speak that, Father. That's why I asked you this morning. I wanted to continue on the study of the fivefold and go deeper into the gift. And as I was studying, I had a few encounters. You know, that's, I understood why a lot of people don't like reading the book of Revelation. Because it is a book of visions. So once you study that book, you start to have the encounters. Basically what it means is that the things that are, that you read in the Bible, they come alive. And it's not everyone who is given the grace to teach or preach everything. And I've said it before in the last sermon, that you may find that you want to come and say, one of the pastors in the church, can you do this for me? And you find that, not that they cannot, but that the grace not have been given to them to do that. So that is a way God is showing us that you are imperfect. And as much as you want to do good, you are not good. Not operate outside of Him. Okay? So, when I was studying for those gifts, but particularly because I wanted to preach about the pastor's calling, then I wanted to demonstrate and also do an impartation of a gift called discerning of spirits. Amen. Oh, gracious. Where is the Lord? Are we able, can we flow with me? Are you able to flow with me? Let's see how far the Lord takes us. I guess it is what the Spirit wants. The Spirit gets. Amen. God says, be merciful and kind to others in the life of God, in the love of God. He says, secretly meaning behind closed doors. Not the literal closed doors, but behind closed doors. With yourself, be secretly pure towards the Lord. It's not for show. It's for you. He says, be righteously strict towards yourself. That word righteous means be right standing with God. And how do you become right standing with God? By receiving Jesus Christ, because He is the righteous one. Amen. So, I want to demonstrate by starting with maybe just a little bit of a recap, because I was doing the teacher's calling or gift, which is a picky finger that deals with the hearing of the word. So today I want to deal with the pastor, which is the ring finger, the one who is married to the church, the one who exerts love in all its form. Now, one of the elements that maybe might have left with the teacher anointing is that when a pastor or a minister, let me just use the word minister as a common name, when a minister is busy preaching, a teacher anointing says, I could have inserted verse, I could have inserted chapter, and this story lines up with this one. That is the teacher's anointing. So if you have that, it means you have a teacher's anointing. And the teacher operates very highly in wisdom. So, you want to learn wisdom? Start reading one chapter of Proverbs a day. So there's every proverb for 31 days of the month. You will gain wisdom to the highest degree. Do you think my mind is like this on its own? There's no man who succeeds unless he has assistance from the Lord. No one. We are nothing without the Holy Spirit. Without the assistance of heaven, you cannot navigate this life. Don't be fooled. Don't be goofed up. Don't be pride. Don't be prideful. Be selfless. We all need help. Even as I'm standing here preaching, He is helping. So I want to do, I don't know how much time I have. I don't even see the time. It's okay. Let's go. The Bible is made up of books. It's not a book, as people say. It's not a book. It's made up of books. 66 of them. A Bible is a compendium, meaning it is a collection of concise happenings, events, prophecies, visions, declarations, wars, stories, the move of God, worship. That's what the Bible is made up of. So I'm going to give you a quick rundown, because some of you, some of us, will not go to a Bible school. So the Old Testament, that word testament in Latin means testare, meaning to testify. The Lord is testifying about Himself to us. He's showing us the great plan that He has from the beginning until the end. And a testament is also called a will. That is the will of the Father. In other words, that is the command or the commandment of the Father to us. It's a testament. It is a testament to the one who is reading it, for somebody else, and for yourself. There's a Greek word, I'm afraid to pronounce it. It says it is diatheke. D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E. Which means covenant. I'm sure we have heard this word before. I have made a covenant with my people. I have made a covenant with my son, the Lord says. So the Old Testament is an old or a before Christ manifested on earth in a human form will of the Father to us. And that book or that that section of the Bible is broken down amongst others by the five books. The first five books are called the Torah. If you come across somewhere where there's a Jewish teaching, you see they are always speaking about the Torah. They go and pray and they really want the Torah. So the Torah is five books, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Then from the Torah we have historical books, which is Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Then we have the poetic books, for those that like poetry. We have Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. Some version says Song of Songs. And some other version says Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, and the book of James, they are the book of wisdom. So if you want wisdom, you read these four books. And then we have the prophetic books. We have the major prophets, and we have the minor prophets. So the major prophets are Isaiah. Surprisingly, the book of Isaiah has got 66 chapters. Then you have got Jeremiah, who also wrote Lamentation. And we have Ezekiel and my favorite, Daniel. Then we have minor prophets, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. I see question marks. Why are you telling us about these books? This lines up with what I'm teaching, what the Lord has impressed on me to be teaching this whole year. If you cannot find, or you are looking rather, for your gift or where God has called you, what I have just said let you go and read that, because I have a prophetic gift or I have a prophetic office, I must go and study the prophet. Am I called like Jeremiah from a young age? Am I called for the nation like Isaiah? Am I called to write the vision of God like Habakkuk? Am I called to bring down mountains and raise up other altars like Zechariah? Am I called to be the crying or the wailing prophet who is Jeremiah, crying for the nation, interceding for the nation? Am I being called the one who is hated by everyone? Am I called to sacrifice? Am I called to search the deep secrets of God? According to Daniel, the word or proclamation was left by Jeremiah, but no one knew what was written until Daniel prayed and fasted and denied himself, and the books were opened to him, and he understood by the Spirit of God. He was one who called the angel by his prayer, not commanding the angel, but by praying. And the Gabriel angel came to deliver a message, because there was a prophet praying. I shouldn't get ahead of myself. That is lesson prophetic. Then the New Testament is broken into four major headings. One is called the Gospel, also known as the Good News. It consists of the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then we have a historical book called the Book of Acts. Then we have the letters of Paul to the nations and to the churches. And those letters are Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, or also known as Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of John, Jude, which only has one chapter, and Revelation, which is the book of vision that John wrote while he was blind. You see, this kind of truth you cannot dispute. You can't dispute that God is the one in his own sovereignty that wrote the Bible with his hand. How? By impressing it on the people he wanted them to write. In Revelation it says, John, write, eat the scroll, it's sweet, but it will come out being bitter. And he wrote what the Lord told him to write. And in that book he wrote to the seven churches, letters to those churches, without having eyes. He was writing without knowing what was looking like, what was happening in those churches. Can we have the book of Acts
Maybe you might get offended on the road going to a place of prayer. Maybe you didn't want to come to church to start with. But there's this girl. You pass by trying to buy bread, but there's this girl. He's talking about you. Sees what you are wearing. He says, this one is going to church. These ones, they know God. They sing all these praises about you. And Paul and Barnabas were going to a place of prayer. Did it mean that the Spirit of the Lord was not with them? He was, because he's ever present with them. And they were going to a place of prayer. They met this slave girl who had a spirit of fortune telling. A sorcery spirit. Some versions say it's a spirit of divination. But Paul, being great and all, did not see or know the spirit that it existed. You see, the Bible starts by telling us once there was that one encounter that happened. But this once it continued multiple times as they went by the place of prayer. Even when they went to the place of prayer, the Lord did not say anything to them at the place of prayer. And they came back the same way they left. And tomorrow they came back and passed that lady again. And the lady said the same thing she said yesterday. These are the men who will show you the way. The way is the way of Jesus. Who will show you the way of how you are supposed to be praying or to be saved. They were going to a place of prayer. Nothing was going to distract them. Nothing was going to stand in their way. They were focused on going to a place of prayer. This is why I was saying, let's sing that song again so that we can show that we are coming to the King and we are excited to come to the place of prayer. David said, I would rather spend a day outside of your court than 1,000 days away from your presence. I would rather fall in the church than fall outside of the church. David said, I would rather fall in the hands of the Lord to punish me rather than to fall to the hands of the enemy to punish me. The Bible is clear. It's telling us that the spirit was a spirit of divination and a spirit of fortune telling. But Paul and Barnabas could not see the spirit. I'm building my case. I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit is one spirit that gives dimension to all the gifts. And the Holy Spirit makes the gifts to operate as He wills. Not as I want. Not as I wish. Not as I think He is powerful. He is God by Himself. He doesn't need me to reward Him. I cannot cause God to move because I am fasting or mourning. God, you know what I love about God? He will make an appointment. Do we have teachers in the house who are teachers at school? You know, an appointment has to have 3 things. Am I correct? You will help me. An appointment has to have a place. If you make an appointment, where is the meeting? Must have a place, right? And then an appointment has to have time. What time are we meeting? And then what is the last thing that the appointment must have? The person or the message. The one who's bringing, the person who's bringing the message. But you know what the Lord said in Acts 1:8? He said, I have an appointment. Tarry in the upper room. And He never gave them the time. He never gave them the time. He gave them the place. He gave them the message. Then he said, power shall come upon you. But he never told them what time. So they tarried. Why am I bringing this in between this message that I'm preaching? I'm trying to show you that it doesn't matter how long I preach here. If the Holy Spirit does not feel he's going to honor this service and come down and do only what he can do, nothing can happen. So, the Holy Spirit gives the gift. You may desire them, and the Bible says, desire them wholeheartedly. Love them. Love the second, love the first Corinthians chapter 12 book. Read that chapter. If you desire gifts, read it. Meditate on it. Love it. Above all else, desire to prophesy, he says. Love it. But he doesn't tell you how many times, how long should you love it. He just tells you to do it. When I first had the encounter, I went to seek counsel from a pastor. And I prayed with him and I said, I feel a burden in my spirit. I know the churches are fasting. It's January, they are doing 21 days all across the Christendom. And I don't feel this 21 days. I don't know what is going on. I don't know whether I should do 3 days. And it would have been my first 21 days. So I was scared. I was actually not telling the whole truth. I said, no, I'm not feeling this. I think I must do 3 days. He said to me, the Lord says, do 40 days. I, the Lord, will come and pour oil on your head. Because I have chosen you and I've ordained you. But I will make this ceremony of ordaining you to come after you do the 40 days and 40 nights. That time, it was my first time that I've ever done fasting longer than 12 hours. And in that 12 hours, I'll sleep during the day just to push the hours. So, Paul was going to a place of prayer, and there was a girl. And that girl started saying, these are the men who are sent by the Lord, they are people of God, and they will show you the way of how to be saved. I want to say to you, Paul could not have known what spirit that girl had unless the Holy Spirit imparted the gift of descending of spirit. So I hear a lot of people going around saying the spirit of discernment. There is no such thing in the Bible. There is no gift called the gift of discernment. It might be a heading in the Bible, but it's not a message. Show me. It's called descending of spirit, descending of truth and error. You see, there's the truth that the Bible says in John 8:32, the truth shall set you free. The truth. There is truth. There is the truth. These two things are different. Because truth carries the spirit. It is the spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit. True is what we have here on earth. It's true. You're a woman, you're a man. It's true. Is it the truth? In this time, we have found it to not be the truth because other people change their sex. No more, Mr. I'm Adam, or I'm him, or I'm she. But what is the truth? The truth is, he made them male and female. That's the truth. So, the spirit of discerning of spirits does not only show you the good and the bad. It also helps you in your everyday decisions. You are business people. So if you want to get into business with someone, the Holy Spirit will tell you and give you an unction and say, I don't want you to be in business with this person. Does it mean the person is bad? No. It means you and that person, you are not working the same journey in your destiny. You can't pray with everyone. You can't form a prayer group with everyone. The Holy Spirit will show you when you make him his friend. You can accept the Holy Spirit. He can be in your body because this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't walk with him, he will not impart or show you or give to you the operation of the gift of the Spirit. There are 9 gifts, by the way. I'm only focusing on the discerning of spirit. When you enter a building, you can discern the spirit that is in operation in a building. When you are reading a book, you can discern the spirit that was writing that book. It's not every book that you must read. When you are wearing a diamond ring, you can discern this diamond, how many people died to have this diamond on your finger. You can discern when the Spirit tells you what to wear. You may be wanting to wear red shoes, but the Spirit will say, those ones, they are going to trigger the person you want something from, and then that person will not give you what you want. Wear the black ones because they like black. You don't need me to tell you, Pastor, should I wear shorts? Should I wear something that my bag is open? Should I not wear? No. The gospel is not about what to wear, what not to wear, wrong or right, evil, good, black, white. The gospel is not about that. They are gray areas. The Holy Spirit can use, and most times he likes using females. And I'm not talking about wives, I'm just talking about females to us men. And we don't, sometimes we don't want to admit it. But the Holy Spirit uses the female, and the female will come and say, I like this haircut on you. And the male will keep that haircut. The Holy Spirit is concerned about small little details that you are not worried about. He says, give them to me. Let me worry about them. Because those details, they are communicating a certain message to someone somewhere. That the Holy Spirit has already prepared the heart for that person. Please bear with me, I'm almost done. I just want to show you the practical way that the Holy Spirit imparts the gift of the Spirit towards you. You might have thought this was my thinking. I made this decision. This presentation is beautiful. This homework, I got 100%. But it is the assistant of the Holy Spirit who gives you the ability to even apply understanding to the knowledge that you got. Because knowledge alone is nothing without understanding. What do I mean? If you read the Bible now and you don't apply understanding, it is just the book that you just read. Just literature. But once you start applying what the Bible is saying, application is equivalent to understanding. Then once you apply what the Bible is saying, those promises come alive, those miracles come alive. Everything that you need the Bible to do, it will do. Of course, with the agreement. Let me balance that. Of course, with the agreement of the Holy Spirit. Pastor, can you preach any message? I can preach. any message. But as long as the Holy Spirit is not allowed, it's useless. It's my message. It's not your message. It's not our message. I can preach on any subject. I can preach and confuse you. You get lost in me. I still find you and we find each other and we continue. But if the Holy Spirit is not amongst us, it is useless. The Israelites said to God, if your Spirit does not go with us, we are refusing to go. Let's have that desire. I want us to have that desire. Have that desire for the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For the gift of the Spirit. I was trying to tell you that I had an encounter as I was also studying this book, this chapter, that even someone came into my room, and this person is sick, and this person came. I could see the person. I know who the person is. And the person came and came to give me a hug because they are sick. And you ask, how does that happen? I can try to open the mind of God and try to show you, but words will fail me. But I can tell you other encounters that I might have had where I've encountered the Holy Spirit in His manifestation of His gift. I know a pastor was telling me a story. He said that he went to a church. There's this gift of descending of spirit. It's good, and you find it to be exciting when you are using it. And it's working, and the Holy Spirit is working. It's paving ways for you. Any challenge that you want to overcome, He is doing it before you can even get there. I don't know how to bring and decode this mind of God and bring it down, and I can feel it. It's here. In its all sickness, it's here, and He wants me to decode it and bring it down. Wherever you are, intercede for me. Let me bring down this mind of God as I'm continuing. So this pastor says he went into the church. Nice. He got there. There was wheelchairs and crashes on the wall, and it showed a history to say this church is performing. Performing what? He didn't say. He just said it looks like there is evidence. And his faith rose up. Faith and the result, and there must be evidence. His faith rose up. He said, I'm expecting something to happen. I'm expecting the move of the Spirit to move in this church. And he sat down, and sure enough, there was a spirit that was moving, but it was not the Spirit of God. And the guy said, I tried to close my eyes. What I was seeing was now the Holy Spirit in operation. He was operating, and He opened a vision. And the man started to see what was in the church. On the wall, he was seeing, but he was not having a vision. You know, God asked Jeremiah, what do you see? But the seeing, and then there was beholding. So beholding means you intently see. Jeremiah saw this tree, and the Lord said, you have seen well. So that man was seeing all these things on the wall, but he was not seeing well. His eyes were open. I want you to understand this. His eyes were open, but he was not seeing. He was looking, but he couldn't see. Okay, he was seeing, but he wasn't having a vision. Those that wear glasses, they know you have a 20/20 I don't know other numbers. I only know 2020 vision. There are numbers to that. So at a certain point, let's say 10, you start seeing. But when it is, let's say 9, you don't have a vision. Or vice versa. When it's 10, you can't see beyond 10. But when it's 9, you can see. It's when you have a vision. You can get into a dark room. Let me just overstress this thing. You can get into a dark room and your eyes are open, but you can't see. I can preach the word, but until I open the seal, it is only then when light comes that you can see. Then you say, oh. Then there is illumination because you can see. The Bible says, Father, give us this light. The entrance of your word gives light to the simple. So when the word enters, because the word is light, then you start to see. There were the two guys who were working with Jesus after he had been crucified and buried, and they couldn't see Jesus. But their eyes were open. They had no vision of Jesus. Even when he was talking to them, even when they were on the road to Emmaus, even when they were walking, Luke 24, they were talking to him about him. They couldn't see. You see, these people, they were seeing before when Jesus was with them. If there's one person that you cannot convert, is Judaism. They were Jews. That is what is surprising to most of the world, that the 12 disciples that worked with Jesus were Jews. But they had Judaism. And the Pharisees were the teachers of the word. They were the pastors of that time. And they didn't believe in the resurrection. So those guys, they were believing and seeing and having a vision until Jesus died, and then their vision died. So the man could not see, and then the vision came, and he thought this was the spirit, because the pastor kept on saying, pray for this, and he was praying, pray, very hard, one prayer item, one, for a long time, and he started seeing. It was like that girl. He said, no, there's something wrong with the spirit. And the moment that light came on, not in the form of a spirit, but he saw a snake. If you watched Harry Potter or this magical movies, you see something flying there. Right? He saw the snake flying, not on the ground. It was flying, and it was coming towards him. Why? Because the spirit of the Holy Ghost started giving the gift of discerning of spirits to tell him, where are you? The guy said to me, I didn't know what to do, but I should have asked when I left home the Holy Spirit where I was going. Do you see how important it is to consult and make the Holy Spirit your friend? But because God is merciful and loving kindly, in all his ways, he protected that man. But he said, because now the snake has manifested, I want you to cut the head off. The snake is coming. He's communicating with the man. The snake is coming. The pastor there knows that the snake is coming to this man. Then he said he cut off the head of the snake. After the head of the snake was cut, the pastor left the pulpit and started walking in between the pews, because he's looking for that man who cut the head of his snake. Do you think nothing happened to that man who cut the head of the snake? Something happened to him. He was sick. His body could not attain touching something spiritual. A man had made an altar on the wall, as I told you. He built something like a mountain. And he said people must go and pray at the mountain. This is by no way exposing any ministry. What I'm trying to show you is that even when you come to church, the Bible says there's nothing hidden in the Spirit. So I cannot come here and stand here and lie to you. If you are in operation of the Holy Ghost and descending of Spirit, I would encourage you, and I need you, desire it, because we all have problems, and something that the Holy Spirit might whisper to you about me can help me to achieve and be greater in my walk with God. One thing the Holy Spirit can whisper to you, that your child is in trouble somewhere else, you are able at that moment to say a prayer and prevent the problem from coming, or coming to your child or your loved one. But because Satan has made sure that people must be ignorant and not desire anything and depend on the pastor or depend on somebody else to pray for you, it's good for somebody to pray for you, but you must also pray for yourself. So the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us inspiration and giving us the words to pray. Most importantly, when we start walking rightly with Him, He will tell you, I don't need that pastor on the pulpit, because he has this. Let Him fix that and then come back in my presence. He is the Holy God. When the Spirit came upon him, he was able to cast the Spirit out. The same way that man was able to cut the head of the snake, he was able to cut the head of the snake. So Paul was able to say, let the Spirit of divination come out of him. Imagine coming to church while you are still being hurt by the door. Somebody says, this spirit of divination, come out of them. I would love to see that change. We are not ignorant of the devices of Satan. He is ever, ever prowling like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. Holy Spirit is our rear guard. He looks even at the back. Father, we have heard your word. We accept that you are sovereign and you move as you will. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen us, a chosen generation, holy and acceptable to you, Lord. We bring ourselves. The the Holy Spirit dwell in us, let His love dwell richly in us, O Lord. I pray, Father, that we ever remain justified and sanctified by Your Spirit. I pray that the blood of Jesus cover us for protection and for redemption, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we go into our homes, that Your Spirit will be ahead of us, that we'll never travel alone, but we travel with You, Lord. Let Your presence be felt in our lives and in everything that we do. We honor You. We glorify Your holy name. Help us to walk righteous before You. Quicken us with Your Spirit, O Lord, that we may walk upright. Help us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, Father, protect the love of mothers. Protect the love of women. Protect the women against abuse. You are the protector. Protect the widows. Protect them, Lord. Feel, protect them against any calamity. Anyone raising their hands, curses upon their lives, protect them against those. Preserve them. Let them grow healthy and beautiful and special.